taking a step back in income and saying no to short-term money is so, so difficult. Like, imagine saying no to money. So it's so difficult, but if you were to look at any seasoned entrepreneur and you look at their timeline, they, at one point or another, have had to say no to short-term money, or they've had to take a step back in income. And the reason why it's so difficult is just basically the way we've been taught. We've been taught to be secure. We aim for security. So taking a step back in income just doesn't make sense. It goes against the way we've been taught, the norm. And on top of that, for example, I'm sure you've been taught this before, or it's ingrained in your brain just like it was for me. I had an early mentor confirm this again for me, and she was like, you need to leave no money on the table, which basically just means take as much money as you possibly can. And that is so wrong. And I never ever knew, because I was so fresh in the game. And it took another mentor to actually tell me the exact opposite. It's funny, I should probably write a book of like rich mentor, poor mentor. But it was the exact opposite advice. And he was right. And since, you know, applying his strategies over the last couple of years, I've started to see a massive difference. And it's basically all this is thinking long-term rather than short-term. And when you're a business owner, you really do need to think in decades rather than just weeks. So saying no to short-term money in the short-term should be fine, because in order to make the big money, that's what you need to do. And everybody has had to do it. Every entrepreneur, if you look at their timeline. So what I'm going to do to hopefully make sure that this resonates with you is basically go through my timeline. Because by storytelling and actually going through my timeline and telling you why that was actually a benefit and why that's worked out for me in the long term, and why it's a must for all entrepreneurs to have to do it at some point, I think the best way to do that is actually go through my timeline. Now, bear with me. I've actually wrote the years down, but I could be totally off with this. I've put 2021 down for when I quit my job, but honestly, I don't know. I can't even remember. It was probably, I'll take a guess, it was probably like 3 years ago. So that is around about that time then, isn't it? 3 or 4 years ago. So the first time I had to take a step back in income was when I quit my job. And for anyone that doesn't know, because I can imagine that a lot of people that are listening already know my story, but I'll briefly go over it. The job that I quit was, basically I was working as a sales rep for a home improvements company. I'd been working with the same people for over 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, probably more towards the 5 years. And in that time, like, that company had an amazing culture. I was making between 1 to 2K per week. Everything was amazing. Like, I was walking away from a job that I loved. You know how you hear the stories of, like, I quit my 9-to-5, I was working in a supermarket, I fucking hated it, the staff were terrible, and it was just shit, the pay was shit, and I ended up making thousands of pounds online. Like, you hear those stories all the time. My story, very different. I wasn't a pizza delivery boy that ended up becoming a millionaire. Quite different. I was in a really good job. So hopefully this resonates with people that are maybe in a job that would be quite hard to actually take the step back in income, because for me at that time, I was getting paid a lot of money. In fact, I actually had the best week that I'd ever had the week that I left, and everybody couldn't believe it. Like, they just couldn't get my head around it. By the way, this wasn't like the norm for me to make this money. It was 2.5K I'd actually made. I usually made way less than that, like 1 to 2K per week, but I ended up making more in commissions. It was just a crazy week. And it was in that week that I decided to leave, that I'd made the most money I'd ever made in a week in my entire life, in a job, we'll call it. And I was a sales manager at the time as well. And the kind of next steps from there was basically becoming a branch manager. And that, roughly, if you're hitting targets, you're making 2.5 grand a week, which I'm sure is 10K a month. Positive it is, my maths is terrible. If you know me personally, you'll know how bad my maths is. But yeah, I think that's 10K a month, which is just, you know, insane. And I basically turned round, and it wasn't the first time, but you know, they gave me some incentives and I went, do you know what, this is the time I need to leave. And I took that step back. Now, the step back in income was a lot of money. I actually was only able to pay myself £200 per week from my e-commerce businesses. I basically left. I had two brands at the time. I had a clothing brand and a tanning brand. The clothing brand was, you know, we sold it in drops. It was maybe like 3 drops a year, which is not a lot. So we weren't making a lot of money from that, although, you know, it did help. It did add to the revenue. I remember 1 month at Christmas, we did £30,000 in revenue with the clothing brand, which was, you know, a lot of money. However, running two brands at the one time was just a stupid idea. We should have really just honed in on one and actually grew that one, and, you know, the idea of actually getting an exit from it. But listen, that's a story for another day. So yeah, the other brand was the tanning brand. That was way more consistent. And yeah, although I was only able to pay myself £200 a week for what was probably 12 to maybe 14 months since I quit my job, we managed to take the brands from 10k a month, well, maybe I think it was actually 15k a month, all the way up to 100k a month combined, which is just insane. And we didn't actually up, you know, how much salary we took, but obviously our dividends were really, really high. And yeah, that was the step back. And taking a step back in income is hard for two reasons. One, it's not really good for the ego. You know, you've got this lifestyle, especially me as a sales rep, I was making a lot of money. Then I'm going down to £200 per week, even though being a business owner, you know, it does give you some sort of status. Not that I care about that, but you understand what I'm trying to say. But it can be harmful for the ego to basically go and do something completely new that you might be making less money in the short term. So for example, that's like you going from this corporate job, maybe working in a bank, maybe you're making like £800 a week or something like that. And you see this new job as a sales rep. Now you understand that these sales reps can make, you know, as much money as they could make, you know, 5-10k a month or whatever, being a sales rep. But you know initially, you're going to have to take a step back in income because you're not a good sales rep. You've never did it before. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. You're going to be humbled, and you're also going to, your ego's not going to like it either, because you've probably went from this corporate job where everything's amazing and you're probably the top in your company, and then you go to become a sales rep and you're the worst sales rep there. You're not making any money. I mean zero. You're making no money because you're not good. And you're just in this period of learning and not earning. And that was basically the switch up for me. And it worked out. Of course it worked out. Like, it was the best decision I'd ever made. But if you actually look at it, going from 1 to 2k per week to then going to £200 per week is just a massive difference. And that's led me to where I'm at today. See that decision? Because that was not an easy decision. I feel like it was an easier decision for me just because of the way my mindset was. But it's still just a hard decision to walk away from that and say no to that short-term money I was making, because it's a lot of money. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I could have just stayed in there. I could still be there just now. I could stay. Could have stayed there my entire life, became a branch manager, and wore a suit every day and just, you know, made a lot of money. But I was thinking long-term, and that's the way you need to think if you want to get to the places. This is if that is your goal, if you want to get to the places that, you know, the big dogs, you know, where they're at. And yeah, I'm sure anybody listening that is maybe sold businesses or, you know, are quite seasoned in a way, they've said no to short-term money or had to take a step back in income to get to where they're at. Now, the second story is very different. This is more saying no to money and saying no to short-term money that is really good for long-term. And it was this second mentor that taught me this. And it basically just reaffirmed it. But at the same time, yeah, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have made these next steps. And it's just amazing to get, you know, to hear someone else's viewpoint and how you should make your decisions. Like, this guy literally changed my life. So I've put 2022 down. Don't know if this was the right year. I've had to do this a couple of times anyway, so it's not really like a set time, but basically 2022, had my coaching business, had this mentor, and he told me that if you ever get an unhappy customer, no matter what the price is, literally no matter what the price is, even if you're a high ticket, you know, even if you're £2,500 to up to £15,000 or dollars, the best thing to do is just refund them. And I basically had a client that definitely did not qualify for a refund. We had done everything on our side. Everything on our side. And yeah, in fact, you know what actually happened? It's actually coming back to me now. They wrote a negative review on my Trustpilot as well. And I was so pissed. It was my first ever negative review, man. I was in Dubai at the time, I think. And I was honestly, I was so reactive then. I probably shouldn't have reacted the way I did. I never said anything to him, by the way. I just mean reacted as in, like, personally just went. I got really, really annoyed. Like, my girlfriend could see it in my face. Because it was all untrue. That was what annoyed me. So, basically, he did this because I'd imagine he was wanting a refund. But anyway, we were going to do it anyway. So, we refund him. And he ends up taking the negative review away. If you look on our Trustpilot now, it's just all. And we never even told him to take the review down. He literally just done it after the call. So, yeah. Basically, in that story, us, because it's hard, because put it this way, my business probably wasn't in a position to say no to that money, especially after putting all that work in, because we had a lot of staff at the time, and we'd put so much work into this person. And I understand, right, you need to understand the customer's point of view as well. He was probably under a lot of financial stress, and what tends to happen is when you work closely with someone, they usually go to you first because they feel like you're the first person that they can go to. Like, they're not going to go to their car insurance or their car company and say, here, can I get a refund on that? They're always going to go to the person that they've built the most rapport with. So I just take it as a compliment. But anyway, seeing doing that, like, if you ever get a client, and I've had to do this a few times, where you just refund them the whole amount, even although they're not even worthy of that, you know, refund in the first place, is better for you in the long term. Say no to that short term money. In the long term, that's going to make you so much more money. And you're probably thinking, how the fuck does that even work out? Well, think about it. See that guy that wrote the negative review? See if any one of his friends went like that to him. Oh, I seen you were in, you went, got coaching from this company. Like, how was it? It was shit. It was, you know what I mean? He's just going to badmouth you. And from there, they tell another five friends and they tell another five friends. So you really need to think about the brand that you're trying to build and the reputation that you want. And that might have cost me, I would probably say, I think that year we refunded like maybe 15,000 in refunds, which is three clients. And that will make me more money in the long term. Because all my good clients, they bring me more clients. Do you know something? I actually take ownership. We probably shouldn't have signed them up in the first place. That's the way you need to see it. You know what I mean? You're the one that decided to get them on board. However, you know, your good clients, they'll bring you more clients. And if you just refund the bad ones, they are not going to, because that could stop you from getting future clients as well. And believe it or not, that guy that we refunded that wrote the negative review, he is, he might be listening, but he is a big fan now. He likes all of my content. He still gets in touch. He apologized massively. And you need to just understand from their point of view. So yeah, this is a wee bit different from taking a step back in income. This is actually just being able to say no to money, which we've never been taught before. We've been taught to take as much money as we possibly can. And another kind of sidestep that you can take. So obviously we're working with creators at the minute and we've been doing really well. We signed 5 last week, which is just amazing. And they're really, really good clients. However, you can get carried away. And we don't do that because we're intelligent, but a lot of companies can get carried away. So for example, what I'm meaning by that is that we've got qualifications. So what that means is that those creators, if the creator doesn't hit our specifications or qualifications, if they don't have, so our qualifications are they need to have X amount of followers, they need to have over 100,000 views in the last 30 days. They need to have above a 3% engagement rate on their social media platforms. They also can't be a faceless account. So we've got, there's loads more. And, you know, sometimes a creator comes through and they're just under the qualifications and the team's like, but we should take them on. And then they understand why, but we just say no. And it serves you so well, because if you're wanting to build an amazing community and build an amazing brand, don't take on clients that you can't help. So you made those qualifications in the first place for that reason. And it's hard if someone comes through your sales funnel and they're just off the qualifications and you're like, I could probably get them okay results. But at the same time, if you're just wanting to sign amazing clients and really just have a bunch of amazing results, you need to say no to the short-term money in that aspect as well. And that was something that I learned from that mentor, is that, you know, not everybody that comes through should you sign into your program. You actually need to say no to money. So if you think about it, my ticket price is 5K. I'm having to say no to that every time, you know, a client wants to join. Like, they're like, I want to do this. And we say no, and then they respect it because they're like, cool, I'm not going to get the same results as everybody else is getting because I'm not at their level yet. And not a lot of businesses do this. So yeah, that was kind of long-winded there. We're going to jump on to the next one, which was at the tail end of last year. So as you know, I ran eCademy for 2 years and I'm still running it at the moment. And when I say still running it, we've got a client base that I absolutely love. And I'm just not taking on any more clients. We took our last client on in October and we decided to make the transition over to creators. So we still do have an amazing client base that I'm working with at the moment, but I've told every single one of them they'll be the last clients that I work with in terms of, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe beginners or something like that. Yeah, people that have just, they're not creators, for example, they've not got a large audience, but they're just entrepreneurs is what I would say. And yeah, we transitioned into working with creators. So that business, eCademy, was doing, you know, anywhere between, I mean, if we just take last year, for example, January was 40,000 a month. And then we, at the tail end of the last year, we got it to 100K a month. That was October. And yeah, we made the transition in January, and November and December, we never brought any new cash collected into the business. So October was the last month we took on clients. Of course, we still had payments to receive over, you know, the foreseeable months, but I'm talking like new money into the business. We said no to that. And I actually can't remember who I had the discussion with. It was somebody, kind of entrepreneur that I've probably went out for food with, and he was like, why would you just say no to all that money you're making? Like, why just basically, in other words, is just shut that down? And the reason is because I want to make the big money. That's as simple as that. Because by pivoting to creators, that is the bigger opportunity for me. That business relies less on my face. And when a business relies less on your face, then it's a more sellable asset. So for example, a lot of the creators that have been joining our program, they've been joining through the company, creator-led, rather than joining through Scott McClure's personal brand. And also, we basically surveyed our best clients. When I said surveyed a bit, yeah, that's basically that. We surveyed all our clients, actually. But what we did is we found that the clients that were generating the most revenue for our business was the creators. And that was when creator-led was born and we transitioned to working with these guys one-on-one. And making that transition was not easy. And to tell you the truth, there was a few months at the beginning where we made no money. Like, nobody made any money, which is so fucking hard. But that's how hard that is at the beginning. And obviously, things have, like, dramatically picked up. We had to make some changes to our processes and stuff like that. But we've got to this point now. And, yeah, I think, like, a lot of entrepreneurs need to do this, where I've seen Ayman Gadzi do it at times as well. And I think, like, it's, if you've got transitioning, you need to know when to double down and when to pivot. And in my position, it was to pivot. And we'll yet to see if it was the right decision, but I definitely feel like it would be. But then other people are like, why not just keep both of them going at the same time? And that's ridiculous, because I wouldn't be able to commit to that and actually provide for the clients, for example. And also, like, it takes up your focus. Like, people underestimate how much effort and brain power and intelligence that it takes to run a successful business. And for me to try and run two at the same time, especially of the same nature, would just be confusing to customers, confusing to my team, because my team would be like, 1 minute we're working with these guys. So I made the executive decision to say no to money, and some of my team did not accept it. And when I say did not accept it, they're no longer here. They did not like the idea. But I can tell you that some of them did, and they're still here to this day. And if you're listening, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And it's paid off. At the time of this recording, it's paid off. But if we maybe had this podcast going out a few months ago, it'd be a different story. We were absolutely in the valleys of despair. It was so hard. We're getting used to new marketing. It was difficult. But how do you get through hard times like that when you're making so much money before and then you have to take a step back in income, say no to short-term money to then get back to where you were and then beyond that? You just need to open up the time horizon. That's what I've done every single time. Every single time that I've had to take a step back in income or say no to short-term money, instead of thinking, ah, short-term, I need this right now, safety, security, I need all this. You just need to open up the time horizon to the long-term thinking, and in 10 years' time, where do you want to be? And if it's not in the 10-year vision, then fuck it if it was going to make you more richer in the short term, because it's going to make you poorer over the long term. So that's how I'm going to finish up this podcast, is saying no to short-term money is the key to make the big money. And you don't need to just take my timeline, for example. Have a look at entrepreneurs, like even Elon Musk has had to do it, and look at, you know, how they've had to, you know, overcome that, because you're going to be faced with this one day. One day you're going to have to say no to short-term money, and it's hard to do, really hard to do, because of the way we've been taught. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this video. And I'll, when I say video, it's actually a podcast, because I don't really make podcasts that much. So if you're listening, I appreciate it. This is the third episode, and I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to be consistent with these. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in the next one.